Cause instead of one hand, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
And when you hear that theme, you know what time it is. It's time for Shrink Wrap. And I have Robin Grace here with me this morning. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm perfectly fine. Go ahead and do your voodoo on me.
Well, today we're going to be talking about sex. How does sexual experience and sexuality develop? And so we'll have a dialogue about that.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, children want to and need to feel, as they do with any experience, they need to feel safe and secure, and parents want to provide that generally and extend protection. And when a child begins to express interest and feelings and ideas about their sexuality in an accepting environment, we see them excited and curious and playful. Mm-hmm. And this can come in the form of they can take on characters from the media. I notice a bunch of young adolescents seem drawn to Austin Powers. One or two, or at least one that I know. And it can be kind of startling suddenly to have your child walking around in the house saying, "Yeah, baby." And I think that we really need to look at what that brings for us, what that brings up for us, because that has a big influence on how the child will feel with respect to showing their new excitement and curiosity. And what more would a parent want than for their child to be able to begin to show this at home? Mm-hmm. You know, there's always the question of, I want my child to talk to me about everything. And so as they begin to display their budding sexual interest, it's an important time to recognize what comes up for yourself and to, at times, put that on the back burner as you watch this new creature begin to metamorphosize into their sexuality. And that can be tricky for adults.
Yes, it can be. And it can be, you know, relatively quick. Our kid, for example, Charlie, was the last president of the anti-kissing club. And then within a few months, suddenly he's talking like Austin Powers.
Right. Shagadelic, baby. Kind of wild. That's a good point. And so I think in order to extend some encouragement and help to parents with respect to how to separate out your attitudes, your triggers, and even some of your fears, perhaps, anxieties that are related to past experience, maybe some of them more negative, maybe you grew up in a more inhibited, restrictive, or even sometimes intolerant household. So naturally, when you want to be more, let's say, supportive and helpful to your child, still the old expectations and feelings will start to bubble up inside of you. So how can you effectively make this transition to let your child be who they are, whether it's about sex or any other thing they're developing in their independence, right?
Right. That's the big question parents are asking. How do we do this? How do we deal with it?
I think that what helps me is really applying some knowledge, some education to give you some support as to why you need to back off or how to move aside from these uncomfortable feelings. And so I'd like to pass on some points that I think would be helpful.
Pass away.
Okay. Well, I won't pass away just yet.
No, right.
No, not today.
Please, tell me more. That's better. Tell me more.
Got a lot of living to do here. Okay. That reminds me of Bye Bye Birdie and my early adolescence. And Conrad, wasn't it? Conrad Tweedy? I thought he was very sexy, snapping his fingers and all of that. Anyhow, so from the perspective of attachment, which we've been talking about now for as long as Shrink Wrap has been on the air, that is, how we learn to connect and relate to others. From that perspective, sexual pleasure involves some of the qualities of a securely attached individual. Mm. And this includes the potential to be in a satisfying and loving relationship to your own self and others. So it's very healthy to have these feelings and suddenly all of these ideas come up. So first of all, we need to know that it's normal and we want to be able to accept it. Now, in terms of security, growing up in a loving household where relationships are secure, where children learn that intimacy is pleasurable. And I mean intimacy in terms of being in proximity to the adults that you need to recognize all sorts of things about you. So whatever it is you're talking about something that's happened in school or a complaint or some life issue. So if you can feel that your parent can be intimate with you, that is accepting and want to know your experience as you feel it, that's modeled in the family. Children learn then that people are comfortable being there for one another. And this translates into positive experiences and expectations in later sexuality. An attitude that being there for you and you being there for me is pleasurable. And as we mature and begin to feel sexual arousal and curiosity, that gets played out in our sexuality. Now, on the other hand, of the other end of the spectrum, growing up insecurely, where anxiety, ambivalence, and conflict is experienced regularly, interpersonally in the family, patterns can develop in later years that are enacted, that come out sexually. For example, in the case where the adults around you are unreliable, if they're dismissive, if things are really chaotic, if there's a lot of trauma going on, children learn not to expect comfort and loving in their interpersonal connections. This can influence settling into sexual patterns which reflect this. So one might have sex to connect because they fear, one might veer toward connecting sexually, therefore, because they fear abandonment. If they don't. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That if you're dismissed and your needs are not paramount as a child, and I don't mean 24/7, but a general atmosphere.
Or at least
of
acknowledged
that,
and, you know, yeah, dealt with.
Yeah. What can happen is because a child is tense around intimacy, because it doesn't feel safe and comfortable with their parent, and they may even fear rejection and abandonment. In adolescence, kids may have sex to with the fantasy of connecting. And they may be afraid to not be sexual because they may be fearful that they will be rejected and abandoned.
Right. And of course, the popular media shows all kinds of examples of the whole spectrum of there, but certainly making those connections is important. And if kids are watching movies and that sort of thing, then obviously they want to emulate some of that.
Right. And they are attracted to different patterns of relating based on what they're already primed to be turned on to. So a kid that feels really secure when they see kids having precocious sex in a movie or, you know, precocious sexual feelings in a movie being conflicted about that, a secure kid is probably going to be involved, is going to have feelings and thoughts involved in, well, I wouldn't go that direction. I hope he or she keeps himself safe. Whereas a kid who's feeling less secure and is worried about rejection, they might, as the character is struggling, they might think, well, yeah, I would feel that way too.
And maybe even engage in more risky behavior.
Right.
That insecure kid.
Right. And another thing I was thinking about, which I think is important, is sometimes when parents are overwhelmed by their own emotional experiences and there's, again, trauma or chaos, or people are healing from difficult times, some parents end up being somewhat over-involved in needing to get taken care of by their children in the sense that they confide in their children or that somehow they need the child to emotionally be very available for them. More than the child really has the capacity to, but that child, again, in order to maintain the connection, wants to do that, wants to please, and learns that a connection, that an attachment is about taking care of someone else.
Right.
Now, this can get played out sexually in later years. In some cases, adults find themselves being very accommodating. And it's one thing to want to accommodate your partner and give to them sexually. It's another thing to always accommodate and to not have the comfort of being able to ask for what you need as well. So the tips that I have for parents here.
Oh, good. Good. We get tips. All right.
We get tips.
Good.
Is first of all, notice your tendencies in connecting with your child. Again, notice how your relational styles are influencing your child's comfort and what they're about. Notice, are you thinking about how your child is thinking and feeling? Again, are you mentalizing their experience? And because when you do that, you model that for them, and it helps them develop confidence and esteem and hope that others will model knowing them, which, of course, will have an influence on their sexual choices and partners and styles of sexuality. Notice what comes up for you as they express their sexual interest and their intimacy needs, and your responses to their expressions.
Mm-hmm.
What are your responses? Are you extending a really light touch? I don't mean physically, I mean emotionally. Is your style a light touch where you encourage, inquire, accept? Are you extending gentle guidance, or are you starting to be rigid? Are you extending a moralistic kind of control? Are you trying to control and fix things because you're afraid or have some anxiety about where they may go?
Mm-hmm.
Check in with all of that. And if you have some tension over it, you might want to have a consultation with a mental health professional just to get some support, like getting coaching. It would help you. Are you being critical, or are you being supportive? Again, to know where they're at. And also separate your triggers, attitudes, your fears from their experience and what they are expressing.
Right.
You are you, they are they. And in our efforts to sometimes, adults say, I want to do it differently this time. You really have to make that separation and really think, how are you relating? And stop yourself before you begin to relate it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So thinking, that's the other thing. What does your child need versus what do you think they need?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that'll tell you what they need.
Sure.
So what do you want to convey as well? Because there might be information that you want to convey separate from what they're showing, right?
Sure.
So you want to help your child know herself or himself versus giving many, many lessons, because how else are they going to trust you?
Mm-hmm. And of course, trust is the bottom line with all of this, I think.
Yeah, and trust,
As you've been saying, and that brings security.
Yes, and security brings more comfort sexually and less involvement than in sexual inhibitions, sexual fixations. When people get very involved as adults, in fantasizing and moving away from being connected, there's nothing bad or wrong with that. But a preoccupation with that, whether it's for an hour or extended, may have something to do with how comfortable or not you feel in making a more genuine, down-to-earth, trusting connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because sometimes if you're a little anxious and you want to have sexual experience as an adult and sexual play that's consensual, it's not a bad thing to have fantasies. Mm-hmm. It can be enlivening and fun and stimulating. But just to know where your mind is going, that there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So.
Well, that's a really big issue, especially for all of those young people who are graduating or getting promoted and going out into the world. So I appreciate the thoughts on this.
And for their parents.
Yes.
I can definitely have compassion.
Right.
Okay, well,
all right.
There we go.
Well, thanks so much, my dear.
Okay.
I can call you my dear because we're married.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good.
See you later.
Have a good day.
All right, thanks very much.